Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Van Dyke!
Hey, Van Dyke!
We get better, better!
We get better, better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you on a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good Friday to you, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Hope you're well. Hope you have a great holiday weekend planned with family, friends, and loved ones. In 70,000 and counting of your closest friends at Memorial Stadium. We'll get to it. Bill Dolman coming up 15 minutes. Talk to him a little bit about spring game. What he's wanting to see. Bill's been to. We'll ask him that. How many spring games Bill Dolman has seen and been to. I'm not aging Bill. Bill's still very young. Very experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta figure that out. Brandon Vogel will join us in about an hour and 20 minutes from HailVarsity.com. Aaron Sorensen will kick off hour two. We'll get Aaron's latest thoughts on the slew of top talent that is visiting Nebraska. We'll talk plenty of recruiting with her coming up. We'll spend some recruiting time in a moment. And then Friday forecast with Klausburn. We'll try and figure out, well, the red or the white. If they win tomorrow. So what's a bigger discussion point narrative for you as you get into this 2017 spring game? What Nebraska does on the field, again, one of 15 practices, or what Nebraska does off the field with this recruiting weekend? I mean, Riley wants a good practice Saturday. But he is going to spend as much time as he can with 40 of his closest friends for 2018 or 2019. You got 2 hours. You got that window for a good, solid practice. Great little showcase. Tape delay with BTN. But then, man, it's been love. It's been showing love Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And maybe even into Monday, depending on some of the kids' school schedule. I know locally, kids are off today and Monday. So it's an extended holiday weekend to say Nebraska. There is no place like Nebraska. That's going to be the pitch. That's going to be the push. So think about that for a little bit. What's bigger to you? And listen, long term, how they finish on the field is super, super important. If I'm picking sides, I want to see how these guys finish up, how they look offensively and defensively. Can you go into the air quote, there is no off season. Can you go into the off season feeling good about your progress with a new team? The other long-term discussion point is how many seeds are you planting for signing day 18, for signing day 19 with prospects? How's Nebraska going to compete with Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin? Well, if guys live up to the recruiting rankings, it's getting them to sign on the dotted line, and you're getting kids that Penn State has. You're getting kids that USC has. You're getting kids that A&M has on campus this weekend. Can you flip? Can you make such an impression? Can you tap in to the connections they have with some of their peers? All of that is happening. But for on-field success, you need off-field commitments and then, obviously, coaching development. There's a great mixture that needs to happen. You love a black and tan? I know we're past St. Patrick's Day, but if you haven't tried one and you're of age, do so. But that's a great mixture. When you do the black and tan the right way, if your bartender hooks it up, well, you need the mixture of talent incoming and talent that's here developed. So we'll spend some time on recruiting right now. So what is this about? This is about three areas for 2018 and 2019. Missouri, Kansas City, St. Louis, IMG, the football factory down in Florida. And it's also about the great state of Texas. Does Nebraska make hay in Texas with some prospects? Does Nebraska make hay with an unbelievable list of prospects from the state of Missouri? Does Nebraska get some yeses from IMG?
Is Calabrasca old news?
No. There's plenty of Calabrasca. Okay. But see, part of Calabrasca, some of Calabrasca, it's gone to IMG.
That's true.
Okay? That's so it's yep. It's still there. It's just moved.
Do you know the tuition for IMG?
Do you?
$75,000 a year.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Really?
I read that in Sports Illustrated.
How long ago? Like recently?
Yeah.
Maybe it's upped.
It might be. I don't know how you can afford that, but man.
That blows me away. Listen, Junior went to like daycare / Christ Lutheran school till he was 4 and a half, and he went to public school. He didn't get kicked out before any of you make judgments on me as a parent. And that wasn't bad, but you're still paying for school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids in our neighborhood, they go to Pius or Catholic schools, and that's not free. And then there are other, parochial schools you can choose to go to, and if that's your thing, good for you. Junior's going to public, him and his little buddies, and he has a good time with it. But I think of you're dropping. And listen, dude, I'm so out of touch. I mean, I pay graduate student prices to go to college. 5 years ago, I was doing some master's work,
mm-hmm.
and I owe, the old student loan game going quite a bit. But that said, I had no earthly idea what college tuition costs now. I don't. I figure he's smart enough. He's got his mom's brains. He'll get in somewhere for a reduced rate.
I think I was doing around 15, 16 a year.
And you're an in-state kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 7 to 9 for me. I set that on fire a couple of semesters.
But high school, $75,000 a year.
That's what I'm saying.
That's insane.
You get kids to go there. I would assume there's some sort of scholarship opportunity. Well,
there has to be. There has to be.
75G. Is that a year or a semester?
A year.
Okay. So if you do the math on that, if you just play the first semester football and then you go back home, not saying that,
yeah.
But I'm saying 75. Whatever, man. So let's talk recruits. Let's stay with IMG for a second and some of the prospects that are here. Of course, you got Bookie, Radley, Hiles. He's probably number one on the board because of what Nebraska needs at corner. He's that good. But he's also, he's your Pied Piper. He is your, he's your class president.
Mm-hmm.
He's your domino man. Because he knows everybody. Everybody knows him. And what Nebraska has done an amazing job of here since Riley got here is getting kids on multiple visits. And it started with Keyshawn, senior and junior, even as sophomores. That first spring game under Riley. But there's been a decision to make this the event. We'll get into the revamped college football recruiting rules the NCAA passed here in a little bit, and we'll tell you how it works and is important for Nebraska. We won't bore you with, rule 8-76C. I mean, we won't get technical on you. We'll just tell you what it means. But you got Bookie, IMG, and listen, if you can get kids from IMG, you just need one, and then more will come. And you got Brock Bando, kid that was at Lincoln Southeast that went down there. And Bando's, we'll see how he translates at Nebraska. Size-wise, he's got to put on some more muscle. He knows that. He will. But you got those friendship connections. You got your hooks into one kid at IMG. Bookie's going to work that magic if he ends up coming to Nebraska, and let's be straight, if he doesn't, that's the story. You have defensive tackle Josh Walker, who's really good, and then you have Josh Moore. He's a tremendous wide receiver that is in town. He's got a twin that's Jordan, named Jordan, that doesn't go to IMG, and he's an A&M kid. So you have circled an area where Harbaugh went on spring break just a year ago. And what's going to happen with college football, and it relates to the rules too, because there's no more two-a-days. We'll ask Coach McBride about that decision Monday. What's going to happen here is you are going to have less opportunity as a coach for contact. You're going to have less opportunity for fundamental work. You're going to have less opportunity for tackling, and you're going to have defenses at a decided disadvantage. Unless you get kids that are at a further along starting point. We talked about it yesterday with the talent. What talent level starting point is your kid at? Well, look at Lamar Jackson's tools. The guy comes in and needs to adjust to college, but from a size and speed standpoint, it's God given. So have fun trying to get open on him when he puts it all together. Well, if you look at places like IMG, where the kids do go to school, obviously, there's academic focus, but you got a conglomerate of high-end, high-profile creme de la creme. They all go there to practice against each other, so you got great practices going on there. Can you get kids that are further along, more advanced, more talented, and developed from high school to come into your college football program? It's got to happen. And there's a few places that do that. Where the Davis twins went, down in Kansas City, that area. You know how good they came in. Look what they're doing now is just sophomores. Really good coaching down there. That's what you got to target when recruiting. What type of program are they coming from? Is the kid big and fast and strong? Yeah, but fundamentally, are they coming in good, or do you have to break bad habits and coach them back up? How much wheel spinning are you doing? You go to IMG, you get a group of kids from IMG or just one, or you start a pipeline like you did to Bradenton for Tommy Frazier, Tyrone Williams, two guys that were all-timers, one the all-timer. You got to start that. So you're getting your pipeline down in Florida now if you can get some kids from IMG to come up here. And they are further along. They are more apt to come in and contribute. And, yeah, you still got to develop them, but there might be less development.
Yeah, I mean, with eliminating the two-a-days, that can only be because of player safety, right? I mean, there's no other way why they would be doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, with CTE and stuff like that.
I don't want to, like, brush that aside, but...
But, I mean, you brought it up. Less time to practice tackling.
Oh, it's going
to
be 47-45. You hold someone below 30 points in defense, you're now the steel curtain.
Yeah, it's going to look like Big 12 scores.
Yeah, it's going to be Big 12.
Mm-hmm. Which I necessarily don't mind, but I know a lot of people, you know, Delhi would like to see that lower.
You don't mind him until you're...
I don't mind basketball and grass, as Jay Moore calls the Big 12.
You don't mind it until your offense taps out at 38.
Oh, for sure.
67 to 38.
You need to get there, yeah.
So, IMG, we'll see if Josh Walker, Josh Moore... And Bookie get the wow factor. I think Bookie's already got the wow factor.
Yeah.
Because he's been here 100 times. You also have some kids out of the Missouri area. If you missed Steve Warren, go back and listen to that podcast. Him discussing just where Nebraska's missed in Missouri the last 5 years. Wasn't emphasized. Needs to be. And I think Nebraska's got an in with two guys that'll make favorable impressions, Coach Kavanaugh and John Perella. Is Missouri a place to beat? Maybe. I mean, they weren't necessarily awful going into SEC play, but they're a far cry from the Chase Daniel years where they were fifth in the country, and all they couldn't do was beat Oklahoma. Ronnie Perkins out of Lutheran North, and you have Michael Thompson, big-time prospects, really good athletes. Oklahoma, Ohio State, Bama, LSU are in on them. That's who you're competing against. So your job, wow them in the same realm that Bama will wow them from a fan support standpoint. And then next, convince them to be one of those game-changer parts of your program. Also, Mario Goodrich. He's an athlete. He's out of Lee Summit. You know that school pretty well. He's 6'2". He can play corner or safety. You may have some commitments over the weekend or within the next 10 to 14 days. Aaron Sorensen in less than an hour to tell you about that a little bit, but you have a plethora. Let's talk quarterback for a second. And that quarterback for 2019 is really talented. He is out of the Houston area, and he's out of St. Pius in Houston. Grant Gunnell, 6'5", 200-pounder. He's on campus. That's big. You can't not be in early on a guy this good at quarterback, and I know he's a 2019 prospect. I know, pump the brakes, but look at the peers all over him. LSU, they've been dying for a quarterback. Florida State, if Florida State wants you at quarterback, that means you're damn good, because all they do is put dudes in the league. It's all Jimbo does. A&M, they've been pretty good with quarterback play too. So you got a good peer group. Nebraska is in on that. We'll see what Langsdorf and company can do. So are you more interested in on-field, what you see in the spring game, or who's here off the field? Bill Dolman joins us next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jaybird's not golfing right now. He's kind of an iron man. He'll be back next week. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. We're going to tap the line right now. Brought to you by Schilling Bridge, Cork and Tap House, the pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. And it isn't a Bill Dolman segment without the music and bass that we all love. Mr. Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury. Billy D., how are you, sir? Happy holiday weekend.
Happy holiday weekend to you and everybody back home. Things are okay. Beautiful weather out here. And getting ready to find out how things go in the spring game coming up.
How many spring games have you been to in your life?
Probably way too many.
No, I know, but I wanted to get into this with you. Because I think my first spring game was... I think I was four or five, and I remember the triplets, Rozier, Fryer, Gill.
Wow.
My dad taking me and saying, hey, sign this for my kids so I could put it in my basement. So I was used as bait, and I remember going when I was really young, and then I remember going when I was 10, and that was the year that Broderick Thomas got to miss the spring game for selling tickets, allegedly.
Right.
So I sat with him in the stands. And but then the drug free pledge stuff. I remember that, and that being impactful to me.
Good.
But what about you? I mean, when did your first spring game was when?
You know what? I don't remember. I may have gone to one or two prior to going to college.
Right.
Once I was at college, it became work. Having worked in the athletic department.
Right.
You know, the first couple of times is like, yeah, this is great, you know. And then after a while, it's like, well, what's the purpose here? And even more so, you know, over the last, I don't know how many years now. And
13.
One of the most lasting moments of any spring game for me was when the 4-year case of the flu was going on.
Jeez.
And everybody was all jazzed because Callahan opened up with all of these, you know, like everybody but the quarterback was in motion and shifting, and everybody thought, oh my gosh, look at this bright shiny toy that we have now, and this offense, we finally have the offense that we want at Nebraska. And we had said for weeks on the Average Joe Sports Show that really doesn't mean anything, all that motion. And Callahan, after the spring game, actually said, it's just window dressing anyway. It really doesn't mean all that much. And this has always stuck with me, that it's just a, you know, it's not even a glorified practice. You know, they ought to just have autograph day on for the spring game now, because it's such a show.
They course, do. You know, there's 40 recruits on campus, so it'll be an autograph session.
Yeah. You know, and the Hoffman thing, it remains one of the great moments, you know, of any college football program. And but still, I mean, it is not what anybody. You're not going to get anything out of it as a fan, other than a nice day and to go out and see the Big Red. But you're not going to. Nobody's going to glean anything from the spring game in terms of what actually takes place on the field.
Well, and listen, you do have a quarterback race going on, and this is just one of 15 practices. But it could change minds if, as Coach Langsdorf says, something crazy happens. But let's go there for a minute. The quarterback race, you have Tanner Lee, you have Patrick O'Brien. And Bill, I mean, you've been following this a little bit here, and we've got to go back to probably Crouch, don't we, since Nebraska. I mean, Zach Taylor was really good, and Crouch was Crouch, but it's been kind of few and far between when it comes to difference-making quarterbacks. Do you think Nebraska has a chance to move towards that direction, a guy that can not necessarily have to win you games but won't lose you games?
Well, absolutely, but if that's going to be the case, then I think you need to groom somebody for the future. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Lee only has this year. Is that right?
No, he has two.
He has 2 years. Okay, well, if he's the guy, but if you know, you've got somebody has to take the reins of this offense. And I mean, the number of times I read over the spring the term growing pains, mm-hmm. It's like, why? Why are there growing pains?
I was thinking more run game with the growing pains part of it.
Okay, whatever. But it just seems to me that they need to find the guy that is going to be the manager or the winner, one of the two, that's going to do it for the next 2 years. And if that's Lee, great. But you can't go into, I don't think, you can go into the fall with a lot of uncertainty at quarterback. And by all accounts, from what I've been reading and trying to stay up to date on, the Gebbia kid is actually pretty good.
That's a really good
job. Now, are you going to throw a 14-year-old and have him be the quarterback of the Nebraska football team next fall? No. But I don't think, you know, you're going to – he's probably going to redshirt, and I'm sure that's what they want him to do. But nevertheless, it's kind of cool that he's come in and mixed things up just a little bit and showed no fear. I think they have to go in the fall with the guy as the quarterback, and so that you don't have, you know, uncertainty and growing pains through August, right? So maybe it's best that you just tell Tanner Lee, you're the guy, just don't screw it up. But if Patrick O'Brien proves to be a real winner, then it's his gig.
Bill, the Division I Council today voted to eliminate two-a-days in college football to support health and safety of student-athletes. Agree or disagree with the move?
Oh, I don't know. I don't...
You know. You want to go off here. I know you do.
Yeah, I do. How is it that all of a sudden it's... and not to say that guys haven't been getting hurt, but you could do two-a-days smartly. I don't think you need to go out there with, you know, 2 4-hour practices or 4 2-hour practices, but it seems to me that there would be a way. And I think it's actually been proven, hasn't it, that the less contact, the more dangerous the game is on Saturday. You know, the less your body is prepared to play football. But you know, football needs to, and I've said this many times on the show, you know, especially now that I've gotten into a little bit more rugby and have seen and heard rugby up close, I think the game of football needs to embrace the way rugby is played and tackled and the contact. Because let me tell you something. When you hear pads popping in football, when you watch a rugby game, it is bone and skin that is slamming into each other. And that, I'm telling you, it is a full contact. And those guys are hurt far less than what you see in football with pads. And I think that football coaches and the administrators have to get a little smarter and a little more open-minded in terms of the way they teach the game. And you're not going to have to worry about two-a-days, four-a-days, no contact until Saturday in the second quarter only. Fourth quarter's flags. Don't touch the quarterback. Because that's the game, the way the game is going. That's not to diminish the injuries and the contacts and all that, but football could be played a whole lot smarter if it was taught in a way that is going to keep players safer. And I don't think that the administrators necessarily want to be all that open-minded. And I think the two-a-day thing is probably somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction to some bad headlines.
Bill Dolman with us, Hale Varsity Radio, NBC Sports, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, I think you're locked in with the NBA. You got about 3 minutes here. Not real cranked up about the opening round action, with the exception of Houston, OKC, and even Portland has typically played Golden State well. A thought from you on each of those series?
Well, I think Boston did it. It gave itself a lot of momentum going into in the East to get the top seed. Because a week ago, it looked like they were fading, and I think Cleveland had like a game and a half or two-game lead over Boston, and the Celtics were somewhat fading. And all of a sudden, in the last week, they got hot. And I think Boston is going to be a dangerous team, although I know LeBron said Cleveland's got, you know, championship material. But I like Brad Stevens and what he's done with the Celtics, and I think that's a good team. And I think that's the key for San Antonio, for what San Antonio's success has been for so long, is the team concept. And I think you see that with Boston, even though, what is it, Isaiah Thomas averages almost 30 points per game. I think they have a real good team concept and could be very dangerous. The Golden State-Portland series, yeah, that's somewhat intriguing, but I think Golden State is going to dominate there. But I am very much intrigued by Houston and Oklahoma City, and I would think the NBA is going to make that its marquee first rounder just because of Westbrook and James Harden and what those two have meant to their respective teams all year. There's nothing sexy about the first round of the playoffs, except really that Houston-Oklahoma City matchup. There will be some competitive ones.
Yeah,
you know, the fours and the fives should be competitive, but they're just not. It's just not going to grab anybody in terms of ratings and what's sexy. But those second round matchups could be pretty intriguing and pretty interesting anyway.
Got about 90 seconds. Jeff Van Gundy says this 2 months is going to be boring because it's just going to be Golden State winning it all. Agree with those comments?
No, I don't. I stand by what I said, and I feel bad because apparently Skip Bayless had said the same thing I did, and far be it for me to ever agree with anything Skip Bayless says. Although, have you ever seen Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated? I think it's him, or maybe it's Sandoval, but they do like Undisputed on FS1 at 90,000 viewers, and reruns of Blue's Clues on Nickelodeon at 2.5 million viewers at the same time slot. But I said last week, and I believe this, that I just, putting Kevin Durant back into the mix at this point in the season, I think is going to be somewhat detrimental to Golden State. You know, I don't think Steph Curry is the player he was 2 years ago. I don't think he was the player last year that he was 2 years ago. I think Klay Thompson is the best player on that team. You got Draymond Green, and you know how odd he was in the playoffs last year. And then you got Durant coming into the mix. I'm going to take the shot. I just think that there's too much. I could be wrong, but I think that that's going to be an adjustment for Golden State. Now, maybe in the next 6 weeks, as the playoffs drag on, they'll get acclimated. But I don't think that that's necessarily a real positive for the Warriors. I said that when he signed with them, and I mean that. I believe that even more right now. And I would look for San Antonio, to be in that mix just because they've been there, you know, before. And I still think Houston's the dark horse.
Bill Dolman with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Billy D, you take care, man. Thank you.
All right. Happy Easter, one and all.
Welcome back to the Hale Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Big thanks to Bill Dolman, 20 minutes away, Aaron Sorensen at HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. To get you updated on the recruiting weekend for Nebraska. Brandon Vogel in hour two, and then Klausburn will join us. Make time not only for Easter brunch, but your golf game with Wilderness Ridge Golf, wildernessridgegolf.com. You can find out about their membership benefits, their membership pricing. You can dial them up, 402-434-5106, wildernessridgegolf.com. Go see your friends, Chris Thompson, director of golf, Mike Shuhart, Shuey, director of instruction with Wilderness Ridge. Okay, I'm torqued a little bit with this no two-a-day stuff. Now, the last two-a-day I did was 25 years ago. All right? They were hell. I hated them. And I was no good. So yeah. They hated me.
Well, that's the thing. As a player, you probably don't mind this ruling at all.
No, but okay.
But as a player, you don't know what you need best for you and your team.
Thank you. Okay? Your pop is a coach.
Yeah. He did two or three days before school started.
Right. What's he thinking? What's Jay Moore thinking? Because Jay's pretty black and white with, listen, they suck, but they make you better. He's good at understanding what you need as a player.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm wondering here. Is this the first step in the deterioration? And this is way overreaction, but it gets me thinking. Are you going to be able to have skilled guys and physical guys and tough dudes? Look, you can always go find tough attitudes, guys that are mentally tough, guys that are physically tough. You can go find it. But as a whole, are you going to be a tough football team? You know who's freaking out right now? You know who's hiding under desks? Those in Tuscaloosa. Saban is going bat crazy right now. He's probably just going nuts. No more two-a-days. What the heck? And guys like Pete Carroll, and Dolman was talking about, you know, the rugby style. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll, all over rugby tackling. That's a lot of teams in Nebraska did that a year ago. Mm-hmm. Listen, I think you are squeezing the old school out of football. Can you have old school in football but be safer? Is my question.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything we know about CTE, I don't know. I get it.
Nebraska is on the cutting edge with that, with the concussion center. And listen, man, I don't know anyone who's got that type of suffering. I don't athletically, I don't know anybody. So from a family standpoint or even a former player standpoint, where you see things, Gale Sayers, okay? I mean, he's dementia. It's so sad and awful that something needs to be done in the name of safety. I get all that. Mm-hmm. But can't you have a happy medium where you're not blasting your head and you can still have a snot-knocking football hit executed between fullback and linebacker for the game? I sound super insensitive with this, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying the game as you know it will change. It's going to be flag football. It's going to be 7-on-7. And that stuff's cool. That's fun. I love playing catch in the front yard.
Yeah. I mean, 7-on-7 is pretty,
it's
pretty
fun.
Popular, and it's fun. Yeah.
No, it is. I totally think it's cool. But I'm talking 3rd and 2 where it's mano-a-mano. You know what was really cool to see this year?
It's snowing in November, yeah.
Yeah. It's back. Yeah. It's the tundra of Lambeau. I mean, it's all of that. It's old school, eye black, and missing a tooth. Let's roll it up. I mean, there's a mystique and beauty, and you loved watching the carnage. And you can still have that physical element, but I don't think you're going to have it as high of a level anymore if you take away two-a-days. And I know they've already limited the contact to like one day in most conferences. I know they're trying to be safer, but I think there's a part of it where...
Would it matter to you at all if the 2 days they just did just shoulder pads, not full pads?
But they were doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking skill work. I mean, it's not just beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
It's skill work. It's continuity. It's chemistry. It's coaches are already limited in the amount of time they can spend practicing. So what type of football are you going to be getting is my question. And are you going to still be interested in that as a fan? I mean, you saw.
And I wonder, too, if you noticed in the NFL this year, like, I wasn't as interested in the NFL this past season, and I felt like part of it was maybe just not as well played as it has been in the past. And remember the latest collective bargaining agreement, they cut out so much off-season work.
They cut out off-season work, and I think they cut out 2-a-days.
Yeah.
But to be good enough to the NFL, I mean, you got to be able to get there, and you still beat the heck out of each other.
Yeah.
During camp is when you earn your money.
That's their job, and they're putting in work to make sure they keep their job.
Sure, sure. So I don't know. Can you research different equipment options? I mean, I don't hear of debilitating mental and physical illness with rugby dudes. Again, they don't have pads at all.
Yeah,
but it's just
part of that's. I don't think we pay much attention to rugby, so I don't know if we necessarily care to hear about that or want to hear about it. But I mean, we definitely don't hear about it like the NFL and their head injuries. That's
no,
for sure.
No, no, and part of it too is the NFL mentality where you are a piece of meat. There's zero loyalty. It's a business, and guys are going to play through it, play tough to make that money. The life-changing money. That following that dream secondary to being able to take care of your family, which I totally respect. But what's football going to be with the end of 2-a-days? And the other part of this is, you really got to look at who you bring in. You got to look at who you bring in and what type of attitude they have. It's going to be even more of an emphasis. And again, with this recruiting weekend, are you bringing in dudes who love football? What's the word you hear about Jebbia? Well, Jebbia's got a cot in the film room because all he wants to do is study film. All Patrick O'Brien wants to do is study film. All Tanner Lee wants to do is study film. I mean, that's these dudes' hobby, and they do it to improve themselves, which is great. But there's a lot of dudes who could give a damn about studying film. It's Friday night. Let's go get a cocktail, and let's go play. The investment level, what type of kid are you bringing in, and is it just a game, or do they love it?
Mm-hmm.
So that evaluation part of recruiting needs to amp up, especially, again, this is, maybe I'm going mountain molehill with this, but I think 2-a-days are vital to building mental toughness, physical toughness, and I don't want anyone ever to have life-altering mental effects from football. I don't want that at all. But I think the game's been great because it's done a lot for people and made them better through extra practice at it. We'll see. In the name of health and safety, I totally get it, but maybe there's a way to be safer and healthier and still have contact in 2-a-days. We'll wind down hour one. DJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
10 minutes away, Aaron Sorensen on Nebraska's big recruiting weekend. Brandon Vogel coming up. Klausburn will join us. Go see Rick this weekend. Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer for pure-grown diamonds. 100% real diamonds. They're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. All the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, they are very, very beautiful, eco-friendly, and 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See why pure-grown diamonds are one of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. SauterHeyman.com, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west with your friends in Grand Island. Sauter Heyman, your exclusive dealer in Nebraska of pure-grown diamonds.
So you brought up the topic of people still wanting the carnage from football, and I would say
you just want high quality. It's not even like seeing someone's teeth fly or seeing Lawrence Taylor come around the corner and smoke somebody. It's the fact that it's physical, blue-collar, attitude, and desire and will.
Oh, for sure. You want that physical football, and I think most of us do. But, like, let's talk about those big hits. About 10 years ago, I'd say people are still yelling and screaming, like, yes, give us more. Give us more of those big launching helmet hits. But I'd say in the last 2 or 3 years, instead of the yelling and screaming you hear, it's more audible gasp. Like, oh, man, is that kid all right? I remember Damian Stafford headfirst laying out a guy, and I was like, oh, man, is that guy going to be able to walk again? I was more
concerned about the guy using his head as a weapon and being paralyzed or quadriplegic.
For sure. But, I mean, it seems like James Harrison is laying out a guy every other week, and it's just it's
that was sweet, though.
It was sweet, but
it took honor
that was like,
and guts,
you know,
to go across the middle. Chris Collinsworth and Steve Largent, their eyes are 17 inches apart because of Sunday afternoons. Yeah. They said, screw it.
Yeah, and I think some of them still say they do it all over again.
They would, and they knew it. They knew when to stop too. There's a point where you were so punch drunk you said, "I'm out." Hopefully, you saved your money and took care of your family.
Yeah, but then you guys I brought up James Harrison, who can't stay away.
No.
Or even Marshawn Lynch, who's apparently going to sign with the Raiders back today.
But you miss it.
It's
because you love it.
It's their lifeblood. But I just think the ultimate carnage.
Some of these dudes would play for free.
I don't know.
I mean, you tell me this. And think about Nebraska football. Let's take run the ball guy, for example. Why do you love running the ball? A, it worked. But B,
because you love the option. That's what you grew up with.
Well, no, you did, but you physically dominated somebody.
Yeah.
You made another team say uncle. I mean, you have to run it all the time, but be good at it. There is pride in beating the crap out of somebody. And Nebraskans love that. It's identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to working the land. It's similar to putting the time in with agriculture. I mean, it's just culturally. Nothing wrong with it. It's impressive. You're a better man for it.
It's what Wisconsin is right now.
It is.
The Badger envy.
You know, right in line next to Saban losing his mind is probably Barry Alvarez.
Probably.
And Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And Jimbo Fisher. We'll call Barney next week. See what he thinks of this.
Think Mike Leach, he'd be all right with that?
No, hell no. Leach, Pirate, is like, yeah, we're down to one contact. Leach is throwback. I know he throws the ball a lot, but both his lines of scrimmage kill people. All right, Aaron Sorensen on the way. Recruiting.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Bundy!
Hey, Bundy!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big,
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, into Hour 2, a massive weekend. Of course, the spring game tomorrow and a recruiting showcase. Let's talk recruiting with Hail Varsity's Aaron Sorensen. You've got kids from IMG. You have kids from the coveted 500-mile radius. And even Aaron Sorensen back in the continental United States this week. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good. I'm still trying to adjust. The weather's very different here than it is in St. Thomas.
You think?
Yeah, but at least I'm not going back to sub-zero temperatures. It's starting to feel like spring and summer, so that's a little easier adjusting. Like, you can adjust that a little bit easier than it with snow, and yeah, so it's okay.
Just think of today as kind of one of those tropical, you know,
it's just a stormy storm.
Yeah, with no, don't need to board up the house though. That's a good thing. Aaron, where's more buzz happening off the field, the recruiting weekend, or from a Nebraska fan standpoint? Do you think on field still what you see in the spring game tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think there's kind of two sides. It sort of depends on if you're a recruiting fan or not. There are people who simply have a hard time getting into recruiting, which I totally understand. So I think for those people, they're probably more interested in watching, you know, the new 3-4 defense, the quarterback battle, as well as maybe, you know, taking a look at the offensive line and the running back, wide receiver situation. So I think it's sort of the spring game is going to present a little bit for everyone. So if you are not a recruiting person, you're going to have a ton to watch on the field, a lot of different things to sort of take in. But if you are a big recruiting person, that's where you spend your time, you know, sitting on the Hail Varsity message boards, waiting for the next commit, then this weekend is also going to have a lot for you to keep an eye on and watch, because right now Nebraska literally has every recruit in the country coming to Lincoln, Nebraska as we speak. When people ask me who's coming this weekend, it's almost an easier question to say who's not coming this weekend. That's just how many people are going to be in town.
Who's not here that you think was supposed to be here?
That's always the thing, is I feel like you said, this is such a fluid situation. And, you know, these kids are coming here on their own dime, so these things can change really quickly. The one that sort of has stood out to, I think, most of us who've been following this is Brian Addison, who's a safety prospect. And he was supposed to be in Lincoln this weekend. He's had Nebraska high on his list alongside a couple of other California schools like USC and UCLA. He is not able to make it this weekend. Does that mean that Nebraska is suddenly out of the running for him? Absolutely not. It's just, you always have to remember with these things that these kids are paying their own way to get to this game.
Well, one guy that's here, and he was here Thursday, Brendan Radley Hiles, tremendous talent, and he's done everything but commit. But, man, he's pumping up Nebraska. Your thoughts on his impact with the visit and also what he can do to create that Nebraska buzz?
Oh, absolutely. He reminds me a lot of kind of what Keyshawn Johnson Jr. and then Tristan Jebbia did in this last class, and then Tyjon Lindsey coming in late. But you've got him as sort of this recruiting, he's recruiting for the university essentially, and I know he hasn't committed. For those that are hoping he'll commit this weekend, unfortunately he won't, because he's already said all along he's planning on committing later in the summer. So that date is already there, so don't worry if he doesn't commit by the end of the weekend. That doesn't mean he's not going to pick Nebraska, but he is just a champion for Nebraska. And you think about, like, as I've talked to different individuals in the classes over the last few years, for instance, when I interviewed Gerald Foster, he talked about how he was really one of the people in his class that year who wanted to build his class, wanted to talk to kids, make sure that they were building the class that they wanted. And you see that every year. There's a couple of impact players that step up into that role. The two that people got really familiar with this last year was Tristan and Keyshawn, and now it feels like Bookie is kind of, you know, stepping into that role this year as well. It doesn't hurt that he's an incredible player. He is cousins with Tyjon Lindsey, so he's got family ties to the team. He's played with guys on the team in high school, and he has IMG ties, which Nebraska is going heavily on now. So it just feels like everything is pointing to Nebraska for him, and he is definitely not shy about selling everything to his fellow recruits as well. Because, you know, at that point, if you know you're going to come to Nebraska, wouldn't you want to build the best possible class you could?
Well, you mentioned Bookie and the IMG tie, and you have some IMG talent that's going to be here. Obviously, Josh Moore, Josh Walker, of course, Jordan Moore, brother of Josh. Jordan, not at IMG, but an A&M commit. And that IMG impact, and really for Nebraska, it started with Bando, and it's followed with Bookie. And let's touch on both of these kids, Walker, another defensive tackle, and then both the Moore kids.
Yeah, you know, Josh Walker, I think one thing that people have been saying all along is Nebraska is going to need some defensive tackles. That defensive line is going to be a big focus going forward, especially as this 3-4 defense sort of evolves. You know, when you look at someone like Josh Walker, I mean, just looking at his photo and his recruit profile on Hail Varsity, I mean, he's 6'2", 285. He looks like a big kid. So I think, you know, Nebraska is definitely going to be making a big push on him, and it doesn't hurt, like you said, you've got Bookie with him at school to kind of nudge him along if you want to. And then I love the fact that you have the Moore brothers here this weekend, and I also love that they both individually decided that they were going to come to Nebraska. It wasn't a – they never announced, hey, we're coming together. It was one said, I'm going to make a visit, and then, you know, a couple days later, the other said, I'm also going to visit. So I love that they're keeping their recruitment separate so it doesn't feel like it has to be – you know, you always see that with twins. You don't know if they're going to have to be – you would love to get the package deal, but I love the fact that they're sort of embracing this as their own individual recruitment paths. And so if one ends up not, you know, finding Nebraska to be the right fit, maybe the other one does. So I love that these two are going to be here. I think, you know, somebody made a comment in the mailbag a couple of weeks ago where they said, last year is all about Calabraska, is this year all about IMG? And it sure feels like it. So if you're Riley, it seems like this is the movement this year, is the Florida IMG Academy movement.
You got IMG, you have Texas, you have Missouri. Also, the Show Me State is a major priority. And then you have, to kind of drill down further, it's defensive tackles, it's corners, it's wideouts, and Nebraska has done an amazing job. Total number here, do you think they'll hit 40?
Gosh, it sure feels, I think, you know, obviously taking into consideration it's not all just going to be 2018, but I think when you combine in those 2019 and 2020 kids that are also going to be in attendance, I think they're going to get somewhere between 35 and 40 is kind of my number. I think a couple of guys, for whatever reason, may not still make it here by tomorrow. You know, just looking at the weather could be a concern. Obviously, we saw with flights in the last week with Delta and different airlines that sometimes flights can be a little bit, you know, problematic and troublesome. So I think there's still a little room for some, you know, last-minute cancellations. But for the most part, I think they'll settle in right between 35 and 40 visits, which, hey, that's pretty solid.
That's impressive. Aaron Sorensen, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. HailVarsity.com can read Aaron there. Of course, Hail Varsity Magazine can log on, HailVarsity.com. A 30-day free trial offer to get signed up and check out the message boards, the inside info, the recruiting updates that Aaron and Jake and company provide. So let's focus a little bit more on Missouri. It was good last year with Javion McQuitty being part of this class. Of course, Bryant at IBAC for Nebraska. But you have Goodrich, that's a really nice prospect. He's out of Lee Summit, safety corner combo. And then a couple of high-end defensive linemen from St. Louis. St. Louis just, I mean, it is kind of a generational class out of the state of Missouri this year for 18, it sounds like. You have Michael Thompson, Ronnie Perkins. Do you think Coach Cav and Coach Perella can make a good impression this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. The one thing that I hear constantly from guys that I talk to about both of those individuals is they love Coach Kavanaugh. I mean, I just talked to Will Farniak not too long ago, and right after he committed, and he just loves Coach Kavanaugh. He thinks he is just the greatest coach. So obviously Kavanaugh knows how to make an impression on these kids. And same thing with John Perella. You know, the difference between the two men when you're looking at offensive line versus defensive line is so funny because they couldn't, you know, look more different, act more different, but they're obviously very solid in the positions that they coach, and their players trust them, and the recruits clearly trust them because, you know, you talk to somebody about John Perella and people, I mean, the defensive line recruits look at him and go, well, he gets it. He's been through this. He's played at Nebraska. He understands what we need to do here. And I think there's just a lot that those two know how to sell about Nebraska. And it's fun listening to recruits talk about them because it's things that we know, we see at practice, we see when we get to talk to them. But it's fun seeing it through eyes of people who are sort of new to the situation, and especially with someone like John Perella, who is a, you know, a Nebraska darling. People have known him for a long time. He was, you know, a solid player at Nebraska. He went on and had a successful NFL career. You've got someone like that, and I think around here we all know who he is, but it's fun to hear recruits talk about that. And I think that's where you see the impact, is they know not only how to sell themselves, but they know how to sell what they're building, and it clearly works.
Let's talk a little bit about the wideouts. You got Manny Allen. You have Shaquan Anderson Butts. Also Sean Ryan out of the East Coast. Wideout-wise, an impressive list here. Keith Williams, man, he'll be able to shine this weekend, don't you think?
Yeah, and he needs to. I think one of the biggest concerns, if you're somebody who is, you know, big on wanting to focus on what's happening on the field, you're going to notice that wide receiver depth feels a little thin this year compared to the last. So if you're somebody who's really just more interested in what's happening on the field at the spring game, and you're worried about that wide receiver depth, then you can also turn that over and say, okay, well, how are they fixing that? And I think when you look at that list of wide receivers that are coming this weekend, and then just wide receivers in general that are interested in Nebraska, it's clear that Keith Williams and this staff are trying really quickly to bring some talent in pretty fast. And, I mean, you've got talent still walking in the door with guys in the 2017 class like Tyjon Lindsey, and even walk-ons like Cade Warner, who could be potentially very successful for Nebraska. But you can't rest on your laurels. You got to keep building that. You don't want to be in a position where you don't have depth. So I think you're seeing that from this group for Keith Williams is, all right, let's just stack this 2018 class. Let's get some really, really solid commits in here. And I think that has a little bit to do with the fact that, you know, they're looking for depth in that area. And, I mean, you just look at someone like Joshua Moore. He has 53 FBS offers right now. You get him to commit to Nebraska, that's pretty stellar.
Aaron, give me a wish list, maybe five, that could end up committing. And you can even mix in maybe a couple names that could commit by next week if you want. But I guess the top five on the board, in your opinion.
Well, I think, you know, Bookie, Radley Hiles, right. I think he's pretty much a shoe-in, but we won't know about him for a few months now. Mario Goodrich, the cornerback prospect, I think he has a good chance. I know Jake Jensen gave him about a 60% chance of coming in. I think that's fair. I think he could be one of the commits that could be sooner rather than later. You know, I looked over Jake's list as well, and I think Josh Walker has the potential of being a commit for Nebraska maybe sooner rather than later. You know, jumping to the offensive side of the board, I'm like running through my list. Graham Roberts, I really like his potential. I think he's probably, in my opinion, the most likely to commit this weekend or quickly after. Obviously, his brother Avery has that tie, so I think that will also help boost that. The hard part with this class is, I mean, you've got guys like Manuel Allen, who I think could be a good, there could be good likelihood of him committing sooner rather than later. But a lot of these, when you're going through, so if you're on Hail Varsity Premium and you're looking through these lists and you're going, oh man, you know, the chance of committing this weekend seems low. That doesn't mean the chance of committing in general is not high. That just means they're probably not going to commit this weekend. A lot of these guys have said to, you know, Hill Varsity directly or have put it out on Twitter in different ways so that they will be making a commitment on a certain date. So that drops that down. But I think, you know, you look at this group and I think there's a lot of, I think if you can grab even those, like I think I said, like five or six names, like three on each side, and they commit over the next 6 months, I think you feel pretty good about that. If you could get two, maybe three out of this weekend that commit in the next week and a half, you know, you're then looking at a class already committed of what, like six or seven potential commits heading into the summer. And this is going to be a relatively smaller class already. So I think that sets you up for a good place. I just don't want people to see if Nebraska gets out of this weekend with only a couple of commits that all was lost. That just means these guys are really, really highly coveted players and recruits. They're going to wait a little bit longer to make their decisions, but that doesn't take Nebraska out of the running.
Aaron Sorensen, HailVarsity.com. Log on and subscribe. Be part of the community that'll get you covered with recruiting. Aaron, we'll catch up tomorrow. Thanks for a few minutes.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now,
back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Hope you're doing well. Great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, and you. I want to remind you, if you're having a drink and you're out with friends and someone offers you a ride home, but you say, no thanks, I'm okay. Maybe you're not. Mixing alcohol and driving, never good for anyone. You can take a life, can lose yours, can be arrested, can go to jail, can lose your license, pay fines, pay legal fees. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office with HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues is back with us on a Friday. Brandon, how you doing, man? Happy holiday weekend.
I'm doing well, thanks. Same to you.
Well, listen, we talked with Aaron a minute ago, and I was talking with Dolman about this. If you were to stare at a scale right now, and one side of the scale is recruiting weekend, the other side of the scale is on-field performance to cap and wrap this 2017 spring, where's the scale at for you? What weighs more?
No, definitely recruiting. You know, I think any spring game it potentially offers more value there for Nebraska fans. It'll be good for them to get a chance to see this team at an early stage and help formulate opinions, I guess, at least a little bit on what's to come in 2017. But when you look at actual impact on the program long term, it's certainly recruiting, and it's, you know, a lot of people have said it. It's as impressive a group as you know, most anyone can remember being here for a spring game. And I think we've seen, and, you know, and Aaron Sorensen has done a couple of stories on the website that have been really interesting look at this. Getting kids here for the spring game is a key part of that. You have pretty good success rate with those guys. So whether or not commitments come or they don't this weekend, I think simply getting them here is a pretty significant part of the battle.
With the way the offense has been struggling or much aligned this spring practice, do you think if they lay maybe another egg tomorrow, that just is that going to be a big deal at all in your mind?
Not in my mind. I mean, I expect it'll people will notice, of course, and it'll be the source of some fretting. Of course, you always have to sort of balance this thing with these the spring games. Does that mean the defense is great? Well, you never quite know. But I think one of the things to come from the spring game is we all kind of entered thinking, well, Nebraska's transitioning to a 3-4. That's going to take some time. I don't know if that's necessarily the case always with defense. Defense comes a lot about sort of mentality, attitude, culture, approach, things like that. And it seems like Bob Diaco has been able to institute those things to a pretty satisfying degree pretty quickly. So from that perspective, we kind of go into this, I think, knowing based on reports from the past couple of weeks, defense is a little ahead. I think that's always going to be the case in the spring game to a certain degree. So it won't be kind of a fatal blow if the offense doesn't come out and look totally sharp, but people will use it as sort of a concern going forward.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, did you get the sense this spring was calm, was restless, and we'll kind of get a period to the end of the sentence tomorrow as you go into the off season from the fan base? Do you think there was more frustration because of how the year ended, or do you think, okay, there's some things to clean up, but it really is new, not only with the defensive transition, but you got an option and opportunity at quarterback to have something you haven't had here. You have a fit. You have an absolute fit. So the coach has got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, I think I would classify it as mostly calm. And I think that's a reflection of getting to 9 wins. Now, you had some really tough losses. You didn't have the end of the season that you wanted, but still sort of bouncing back from 5-7 in the regular season and 6-7 overall the previous year, that resonated with people. And part of my thinking on that is based on, you know, we closed out our State of Husker Nation poll this week. It'll be in the magazine next week. But you kind of saw that effect, like getting back to nine, being a team that was in the division title race for most of the season, really meant something to Nebraska fans. So I think that's part of it. We've also seen people do have a lot of faith in exactly what you mentioned, Chris. The fit at quarterback seems to matter quite a bit to people. And I think people are optimistic about the defense again. So it's kind of changed things. When you look at Nebraska as a team, there's a lot of unknowns there just based on returning players and some of the significant changes that are happening. But for the most part, I think people have been able to navigate that through fairly calm waters based on the fact that there seems to be a general level of optimism that probably started last year just by getting back to nine.
You mentioned quarterback and the coaches plan to announce a starter as soon as possible, it appears. Would you worry at all, though, if they do that, that somebody would maybe look to transfer?
Oh, I think it has to be a legitimate concern for any program in the country when it comes to quarterback in particular. Those guys it's kind of the era now where if it looks like, well, I might be a year or 2 years away from getting my first real significant snaps from being the guy, those guys tend to seek better situations. So I think it's realistic. At the same time, you have to weigh what's best for the team in the year to come. Mm-hmm. You know, we all want to think about college football 2, 3, 4 years down the road, but that's really a luxury. You've got to be good in 2017. So if the best way to do that is to name a starter on Monday or whatever it may be, then I think you have to do that. And you also have to think about, or at least I would, and I'd like for college athletics to operate this way. Do you really want to sort of trap a guy into staying just by delaying a decision that you've already made? You can do that. We know there are some coaches who certainly would. I would be surprised if Mike Riley was one of those coaches that was willing to do that.
The kids stop and ask ever, am I ready? Maybe the coach knows, and I'm just, it's a world question. It's not directed at anybody. But the kids, do they stop and say, hey, maybe I'm not ready? Maybe he's doing me a favor by not forcing me out there to get crushed confidence-wise, and then, oh, by the way, while they still allow hitting in football on the field. Sorry, that was part of a NCAA rules commentary that has carried over. But, I mean, it just kind of depends on the kid's mental and kind of attitude makeup, doesn't it? I mean, with this taking the disappointment in stride, but kind of growing from it. I mean, that failure is an okay thing. How do you bounce back from it?
Yeah, it's really tough, and I think there are fewer and fewer people who are really willing to look at it that way. But you know, in this hypothetical scenario, say Nebraska decides Tanner Lee is the starting quarterback, Patrick O'Brien, you're really close, but that's the decision we've made for now. And if he were a player who wanted to transfer in that scenario, like, what do you tell him? And I mean, I think you would have some pretty interesting things to say. You know, for one, if an injury happens, like,
you're in,
you're playing. Because if a guy like Patrick O'Brien is gone, then all of a sudden you're looking at, well, we either have to pull a red shirt off of Tristan Jebbia or we play Andrew Bunch. That's a tough spot to be in. You have no quarterback depth in that scenario. But, you know, and I think a legitimate way to look at it, too, is this is going to be, I mean, Tanner Lee is entering his fifth year of football. Like, we know all of the things from, like, various scouts. Like, if his talent, his arm talent is as good as everyone says it is, and he has a chance to go to the NFL draft, there's also a chance he only plays 1 year here. I mean, like, I know that seems bizarre for a guy that we haven't seen play yet at Nebraska, but if at the end of the year that's how good he is, like, I think you have to seriously think about going just based on where you are in your career. You can come back and play a sixth year. So things like that have to come in. But even those things, I don't know if they're enough for a kid who's decided that, well, this isn't the best situation for me anymore. I'm going to go find some place where I can play. You have to be able to convince them, well, that place could be right here quicker than you're thinking it is, but it's still a tough sort of gulf to bridge.
Oh, it's the disappointment thing. I mean, you've been kind of groomed and trained for this. The last thing I'll say on this is Nebraska's roster of quarterbacks isn't shrinking anytime soon. They're continuing to recruit high-level, high-profile talent guys that Langsdorf and Riley identify. The other pitch is, where else are you going to go to get groomed and tutored?
Right.
By two experts at quarterback. And do you want to play at a championship level in this conference? I mean, there are some things, there's some rebuttals to the transfer problem because of what Nebraska has on offensive staff.
Absolutely. And, you know, just a matter of potential playing time, too. Like, well, you could go the junior college route. If you, you know, do that, then you can play right away this year. Anywhere else you want to go, you have to sit out. Mm-hmm. So you know you're not playing. Versus here, you can get backup snaps at the very least. And like we, you know, talked about a little bit ago, any injury happens, you are the next man up because the race is relatively close right now. It's sort of making those things resonate as a coach to a young person. That's the difficult part.
Vogue's about a minute left here. Your quick reaction to the elimination of two-a-days?
It seemed like sort of a outmoded, I guess, practice. I remember as a high school football player, you know, my freshman year going through those for the first time, and it was sort of a rite of passage that I'm sure some people will bemoan the loss of that a little bit, but this is where football's headed. It's where it's been headed. It's less contact and that sort of thing. So I don't think in a practical sense it'll affect the game in any way.
Vogues, hang tight with us, will you? We'll get you caught up with Klausburn. I know you've missed him.
I have.
Yeah, we all have. All right, hang tight. Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. We're winding down a Friday weekend edition tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Myself, Mark Kranak, back from Ireland. We'll see if he brought us anything. So Vogues will catch up with us in a moment. Don't forget, more chances for you next week at the 125K Moneyball with ESPN. Chances throughout the day, 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Listen for that keyword, and you text that keyword to 77000. The Friday forecast next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, winding down Good Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. It is that time for the Friday forecast, brought to you by your friends at the Gamblers Assistance Program, Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700. Welcome in Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity, back with us again. Vogues, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. And Klausburn is back. Klausburn, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing okay. I do have to apologize for going AWOL last week. We were at one of the grandson's baseball tournaments, and as often happens, one of the fans got a little bit loud and unruly and very vulgar, and so we had to make sure that Nancy got home safe. So I'm back and ready to go.
Let's fire this up. All right, the spring game. What's red or white? It's kind of your favorite clam chowder. It's where we'll start. Can we get a consensus here? Can we just, for old time's sake, red's probably favored. The white won last year. Barely, somehow. But I say, can we agree that the line's 4.5? TJ?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Vogues?
Yeah, it's always a good starting point.
Okay, 4.5. Klausburn, 4.5, okay?
I think we can go with that. I'd have to talk with my guy in Vegas, but I think it's probably pretty close.
All right, the Reds favored by 4.5. and over under. We need to set a number there. I'm going to go 49 and a half. Yeah? Too low? TJ?
Maybe 55 and a half. Does that sound all right?
Okay. You do miss you some Kevin Maurice. I know you do.
I think closer to 60 is the way to go. So 55 and a half sounds pretty good to me.
We'll go 60 and a half. Okay. How's that? Yeah. Klausburn, are you good there?
Well, I was thinking somewhere between 68 and 70, but that's nice too.
Yeah, okay. What happens? TJ, start us off.
Oh, I think it's a tough battle. I think the red team, they squeeze this one out 31 to 30 over the white team.
You're going to go with the 84 Orange Bowl, communist. listen, I think you're going to see very efficient quarterback play. I think you're going to see both quarterbacks show well. The crowd will be nuts, weather or not. If it's raining or not, and you're going to have 40 top 150 to 250 recruits on hand to go, oh my God, this place loves football. So that is what's important. Give me the red and give me the unders 27-21. We'll have a few side bets here in a second on this. Vogues, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the big winner tomorrow will probably be Bob Diaco and the defense. Kind of expecting that kind of game. Still, they're dividing the teams up a little bit differently this year than they did the previous year, so that'll change things a little bit. But when you put it in clam chowder terms, I have to take white. let's go 37 to 30.
I've never had red clam chowder. Has anybody?
No.
Does it exist, or is that just an Ace Ventura legend?
No, it exists for very, very, very sad people who do not have the sense of pain.
We lose Vogues? We lost Vogues. That isn't good. Okay. Number of...
He got sick thinking about eating red clam chowder, I believe.
No, I know. Well, we'll keep rolling here. Klausburn, how about the number of sacks against the first team defense? Over, under 4.
Sacks by the first team defense? I don't know how you get sacks against the first team defense.
Yes.
That's a whole new stat I've never kept before. But over or under 4, you're saying?
Yeah, by the first team defense.
I'll take the under because I believe that Mike Riley, as nice a guy as he is, will absolutely murder someone if one of the quarterbacks he doesn't know who's going to start gets hurt. So I'll take the under on that one.
Well, there's no contact on the quarterbacks, but it's kind of like touch football in the backyard.
I'm still taking the under. I don't think they want to test that yet.
All right. Vogues, sacks by the first team defense.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. The blow it dead before there's any contact kind of makes you think it'll go over. Bob Diaco's defenses traditionally have not been high sack and high tackles for loss, so I will also go under.
You know what? I'm going to go over. I'm going to say the first team defense gets 6. 6. TJ.
Taking the under.
All right. I'll be right again. Let's talk NBA. And really, the opening round of the playoffs, wake me up later.
Yeah.
But Portland plays Golden State pretty well. Then I want to focus on the Thunder and the Rockets. Man, that'll be fun. Houston's a ton of fun to watch. Russell's done his thing. How do you think that first game shakes out Sunday, and where you lean in series-wise? TJ, you're NBA expert behind Klausburn. You start us.
Yeah, the beard versus the machine, Harden versus Westbrook. Too many more weapons around Harden, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza. Those guys can make it rain. It's going to be a high-scoring series. I like Houston to win the first game 125 to 100, and then I like Houston to win it in about 5.
5, you say. Klausburn, NBA, how you feeling?
Well, here's a fun fact that I found in my in-depth analytical research for this game. Khloe Kardashian has dated more people in the NBA than Russell Westbrook has passed the ball to. So And of course, I only bring that up because last season, apparently, James Harden was one of the players who was a big fan of those Jack Lynx commercials and wanted to act them out at home. And so that may have some bearing here. I really don't know. I think Houston probably wins this game relatively easily, 115-101. And I agree with TJ. I think the Rockets take the series in five.
I'm going to go a little different here. I think this one's really tight for the Rockets. They win the first game, but barely. Give me a win, but non-cover. It's 7.5. 115, 110 Rockets. And I think the Thunder hang around. The Rockets win the series in 6-4-2. Vogue's about 30 seconds here, bud.
Yeah, Schmitty, I'll leave you out on a limb then, alone, I guess. I think it's going to be a fun series. First games traditionally be kind of close, get a little bit back and forth, try and establish a rhythm to this thing. But I'll take Houston to win game one. Right in the same range, you know, 114, 108, somewhere around there. And I think they'll win in five. Russ will go off for one game, and Oklahoma City will get one. But Houston moving on.
Guys, you have yourself a great holiday weekend. Thanks for joining us here on the Friday Forecast.
Okay.
Thank you.
There he goes, Klausburn and Vogues. The forecast brought to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a gambling problem, dial them up, 800-522-4700.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
All right, wrapping up a Hail Varsity show on a Friday. TJ Henning here. Chris Schmidt dipping out early to get to his Good Friday service that starts at 6, so I will be closing it down. Tomorrow begins a beautiful two-month stretch that I am very much looking forward to. The NBA playoffs will get started tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I'm going to give you my predictions here. I'm going to tweet them out. You can check those out there and give me your thoughts if you're feeling any different on my picks. But so TJ underscore Henning is where you can find me on Twitter and hit me up with your thoughts. All right, in the Eastern Conference, 1-8 seed, the Celtics Bulls. I like the Boston Celtics in 6, although ESPN Insider, they're giving the Bulls the best chance to pull off the upset in the first round, even though they're an 8 seed. They give the Bulls a 29% chance to beat the Boston Celtics, but I think the Celtics have too much firepower. I like Boston in 6. Cavs, Pacers. I like the Cavs in 5. Although the Cavs are struggling, I think they right the ship here against a struggling Pacers team. The Pacers' offense is a little better this year, but their defense is a mess without Frank Vogel at the helm this year, so I like the Cavs in 5. Toronto, Milwaukee. I like the Raptors in 5. I think the Bucks just have too much inexperience, but I will be rooting hard for the Bucks because my man, the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I want to see him advance, and maybe we could get possibly that LeBron versus Giannis, but I think the Raptors have too much experience, too many veteran guys like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan in there, so I like the Raptors in 5. Then the other matchup, I like this one to go 7, the Washington Wizards versus the Atlanta Hawks. I like the Wiz in 7. The Hawks are a feisty team, but I think the talent at the end with John Wall and Bradley Beal ekes out the win as they get the win in 7 against the Hawks. Moving over to the Western Conference, Golden State versus Portland. It's a gentleman's sweep, Dubs in 5. Portland, not as good as they were last year, although the addition of Yusuf Nurkic has aided them. We'll see if he's able to play game one. But Dubs, too much firepower. I like them in 5. Spurs versus Grizzlies. Now, this was about 4 or 5 years ago. This would be a highly competitive series, but the way the Grizzlies are running right now, I don't think so. The Spurs, I like them in 6 over the Grizzlies. The 3-6 matchup, Houston-OKC. I like the Rockets in 5, just too much firepower with guys like Harden, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, and although Russell Westbrook will give it his all, which we know he will, and I'm probably going to give him my MVP vote, too much talent on the Houston team. I like Rockets in 5. And then Jazz Clippers, the other 4-5 matchup, I like to go 7 as well. I like the Jazz to win that in 7. I think they have a little more oomph to try to get over the hump. And the Clippers, you know, if they lose, this might be the end of the Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul era. Now moving along to wrap it up here, in the Eastern Conference Finals, I like the Cleveland Cavaliers over Boston Celtics in seven. I think that's going to be a highly competitive series. Boston has played Cleveland great this year. Brad Stevens, as much as we love Ty Lue, I think Brad Stevens is the better coach in that one. I like Dubs over Houston in seven. I think Houston has the best chance to beat Golden State with their offense, and this is the best defense under Mike D'Antoni in all his NBA years. So they play offense but also play a little defense. But I like the Dubs. Too much talent with Durant and those guys in seven. And then for the NBA championship, it's another rematch. Golden State, Cleveland. I like the Warriors in six. Too much talent. You know, we had Bill Dolman. He's worried about Kevin Durant fitting back into this. I am not worried at all. They were 59 with him. He's going to slip in like a glove. It's going to be fine. Dubs in six. Maybe not book it, but we'll see. All right, thanks for listening. Hail Varsity Saturday Morning Show from 7 to 9 a.m. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Thanks.